Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
I can't hear anything. Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, January 16th, 2010, and today we'll be discussing the coming Earth changes and emergency preparedness. Today I have on the show Dennis Korn, who's the founder of Alpenair Food Reserves. I've got a little bit of background on Dennis on the Cosmic Love website. And I thought it would be good to give a little orientation, as I hinted, to some things that we can expect. Signs of the times here for 2010, some different indications that there could be some rocking and rolling, as we've seen in Haiti, and has been picking up with the frequency and intensity of earthquakes and volcanism worldwide. So this is a serious issue, and emergency preparedness is appropriate, to say the least. The true test of spirituality, you might say, is practicality, and you hope and pray for the best, and you prepare for the worst. So we'll be going into what you can do with food reserves. That's kind of the core preparedness item, food and water, and we'll have information on that today. I did want to reference, before we go into more details, specific details on preparedness supplies, I wanted to reference some information that I've been getting, kind of a repeating pattern, common pattern of information of what's indicated for this summer, late spring, early fall, as far as major earth changes here in the United States and the world. Now, as I mentioned, there's been an increasing frequency and intensity of earthquakes. Most people don't know that the Geological Institute that does the earthquake ratings changed the ratings here a couple years ago. And earthquakes now are actually one level higher than they report them as. You know, when they said it a 7.0 magnitude earthquake, it's actually an 8.0. And the reason they did this is because the same reason that the plunge protection team that works with the government, keeps the economy from falling, and they can prop it up and manipulate it to make it look better than it is so there's not panic, and just to maintain stability. And because of the panic factor of earth changes, if people knew that we could expect them here in the United States, there would be people leaving the coasts. I mean, if we knew there was major earth changes coming. And so there's that concern of how you maintain order and prevent the panic and social chaos by downplaying and downsizing the numbers on the actual earthquakes. That's, again, this is ongoing disinformation that you won't hear about in the mainstream media, just as you won't hear about what's going on with this planet X, Nibiru, whatever you want to call it, that's coming in around the sun. The government has put up new satellites, IRIS satellites, that registers the infrared to monitor this as it comes around. And, of course, there's ancient history from all civilizations regarding when this planet comes into our solar system. And this planet is it's a dwarf star and is actually the twin of our own sun. And it's in an elliptical orbit that goes out and into our solar system about every 3,500 years. And this is well known. There's a lot of books about it, a lot of 2012 websites talking about, you know, Nibiru's inbound, what it means, and the full implications. And there's a lot of coding that's out there, coded information that's telling us when this planetoid, actually it's, like I say, a dwarf star, is coming into our solar system and going to influence the electromagnetics of the Earth. And one of the best indications I've seen on it was a giant, two giant crop circles in Anbury Manor, Wilshire, reported 15th of July back in 2008. And it has a very clear glyphs. There was two of them. One was on the 15th and one on the 23rd that were very quickly removed from the crop connector, crop circle connector websites, because it's a very clear coding of what we can expect in through late spring and early fall, with electromagnetics of the planet being affected by this Nibiru, Planet X, whatever. So that's just some interesting information. I don't have a graphic of that up on the website. You can do a search on it, or if just ask me, I'll send you an attachment, a copy of it, and you can take a look at it for yourself and the coding of it. There's other information from multiple sources, what's going on for the emergency preparedness of the government is at a heightened state. There have been reports all over the United States that these deep underground military installations, or bases, DUMB, dumbs are called, are being rapidly fitted and serviced and supplied with emergency preparedness supplies. Their parking lots have been full and busy like they haven't been since Y2K. So there's about 200 of these installations around the United States. There's been convoys of semi-trailers going down into these underground bases. Now, there's a link on that. You can read about it on the Cosmic Love website site on these underground cities that are being rapidly supplied at this time. So that maybe will wet your whistle a little bit about why the interest in food reserves, why I have Dennis Korn on the show today. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah, hi, Christopher.
Well, I thought I'd go into some of the background on that.
Great.
To kind of get some interest in of why the urgency of the hour and why we have you on the show today, and what people can do with food reserves. And when I say that, everyone's got an idea of either do it yourself or go to Costco or all kinds of ways to go about putting in a pantry program for food reserves or whatever, but the real key factor, as I've looked at it over the years, and I, like yourself, and for those who don't know the background of Dennis had a health food store back in the late 70s, as I did, and both of us ended up working with food reserves, supplying food reserves for preparedness organizations or individuals. And Dennis really got into it, and he developed a very good quality natural foods based food reserve line called Alpenair Foods. And Dennis, could you give a little introduction to your website and what you're doing and what your intent to do with the articles and information that you have there?
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that. To just give you a little bit more about my background and, of course, let the folks know where I'm coming from. You're correct. I have 35 years in the food business, specifically with both a natural food store, which I started in the mid-70s, and then, of course, evolved into manufacturing and packaging of food products for emergency preparedness, for backpackers and campers. And they were, you know, products with a long shelf life, shelf stability, nutritional value, taste, and all the important things, and they were all natural. And so I started that quite a long time ago, and of course been involved with the industries, both the outdoor industry and the emergency preparedness industry, for quite a long time. Needless to say, I'm quite serious about this subject. I take it very personally that there are folks whose lives may depend on these foods. As many of the, back many years ago, many expeditions were using the camping backpacking foods, they were in extremely remote locations, and they had to carry all their food with them. And it became very clear to me that I had a responsibility to provide the best foods for very challenging situations. And so that has been my mission for many, many years, and I do take it seriously. When the Gourmet Reserves Division was created back in the late 80s from Alpenair Foods, here was an opportunity to package products for long-term storage, basically what it was. It was the same quality of various ingredients and yet it was packaged for food reserves, people who were planning. And so that's a bit of my background in terms of the foods. And, of course, I got involved quite a bit with other products. You have to have water, needless to say, to use these products. So I got involved quite a bit with the various products that were compatible. Now, as far as my current kind of business is, I started a company called Prepare Direct. And I have a website, which is preparedirect.com. And on the site, what folks will see, there's a couple of things. There's the products, obviously. And it's a fairly straightforward site, a very category of products. And you can get on there and just find out information. I also have what I feel to be quite important for folks that are planning. On the left part of the site, you'll see a section called Information. And I have a few key important articles that I have written there that I do invite people to read. One of them, which I feel to be very important, is who do you trust? Trust is an essential element these days. As I've been doing this a long time, I've seen many, many good companies are there, but unfortunately there are many companies who are not as educated to these products or not as informed and perhaps have different intentions. There's an article there, The Essential Questions of Preparedness Planning. It's kind of a guideline to let people know what they need to know and give them kind of a step-by-step idea of the process. There's also a lot of people that may not want long-term, but perhaps just short-term. So there's an article there on emergency kits and outdoor recreational products that are necessary for those. And then, of course, very specifically, there's an article about purchasing food reserves. And so I'm addressing these things to the folks, and of course we can talk about some of those specifically here. And there's, of course, my essential emergency planning guide for food and water, which was written during the whole Y2K process. It's been updated, but I wrote a lot of articles and appeared in a number of videos and so forth during that process.
Well, I'd like to add, this who do you trust is a huge thing. You know, people that go out and buy food and food reserves on price rather than quality end up getting bulk cheap, low-grade food that's like the dog food that had the melanin in it from China, you know, that killed tens of thousands of animals across the United States. When I say that, a lot of the inexpensive, the cheap bulk food reserves from the different companies, they just contract to get the materials from any source that they can that's just as inexpensive as possible. And whether that be milk powder or whatever, and I know that the Alpenair, their quality control, their original intent to have the highest quality natural foods, is really, that's one of the things I've looked at over the years, and what I'm really impressed with. And of course, the way they've done it too, the packages, when you prepare the food, I mean, we really got some delicious dishes there. I mean, it's the Gourmet Reserve line. It's not gourmet in terms of, fancy, outrageous. It's just gourmet compared to other food reserves.
Exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned that. That is the name of the canned line.
Yeah.
Is Gourmet Reserves. Of course, the pouch line is Alpine Air. And what you've said is very true. Of course, we don't want to think that the people are going to be physically injured or ill by eating inexpensive foods. But
yeah.
I think it's a good analogy in terms of what I have seen over the years in many of these pre-packaged systems, and that's why it's so important to do some research and investigate where you're buying them from. Some of these systems have been designed solely on price. In other words,
yep.
Make it as cheap as possible, I've heard many conversations over the years where people just want something stashed away. They hope they never see it again. They think it is better than starving.
Yep.
And so there are products that are very, very low quality. And this is, this is a choice the customer has to make. Do they want this
And they eat it for three. They eat it for 3 weeks and want to die.
Well, you know, that's another thing. A lot of these foods are very, very grain and bean oriented, and that, nothing wrong with grains and beans. But if your system is not used to digesting these products, you're suddenly, if that's your scenario you're planning for, if you're suddenly going to have to rely on these food reserves, it could be very difficult. If you've got 300 pounds of wheat or a whole bunch of beans and textured vegetable protein, and that is the primary source of your nutrition, it would be very difficult to digest it. And so it's important to, I'd like to say two things here that everybody should know about. Of course, I go into a little more detail on these articles. The first and foremost question everybody has to ask themselves as they start planning for these things is, what is the scenario or scenarios that you're planning for? Is it long term? Is it the power outage for over the weekend? Is it
of course, no one knows for sure. But in a worst case scenario, we're talking about years.
Well, it could be, and obviously there's going to be a whole different planning process if it is just a weekend or a couple of 3-4 weeks. As it would be for, say, 6 months plus, up to a year or two. And I have talked to people that have planned for lengths of time, anywhere from a few days to many years. If that is the scenario you feel is going to be happening, some of the issues that you brought up could, in fact, create that kind of very long-term difficulty that you may have to rely on these things.
Yeah.
And, others, say a hurricane issue or perhaps a limited earthquake, maybe you're only looking at a couple of weeks, a few days. But that's the number one question that people need to ask. So what is it they're planning for? And, of course, that morphs right into, so what's the length? If you're planning for an earthquake or power outages or something, the length is going to be relative to that. If you're planning for some major disruptions, and the length is in the months, then you really need to prepare accordingly. And getting into the food, back to the food situation, you need to get very serious about who you're planning for. Are there people that have medical or food needs?
It overwhelms a lot of people. But
it does.
And I think, as I am, even thinking about, I've been kind of a preparedness survivalist kind of a freak for years. I mean, with the idea of, I'm an Eagle Scout, the be prepared thing is kind of in my bones. And the preparedness thing with what's coming or possibly coming, I've been looking at prophecies and indications of, the ancient prophecies, the modern prophecies, what's really going on. And I've looked at these Earth Changes maps. There's three different ones created by three different people. That was what the United States will look like after the Earth changes. And this was years ago, I'm looking at these maps, and I was kind of awed how they all come up with pretty much the same changes. And, of course, when is that going to happen? When is there going to be, a massive crustal plate displacement shift of the tectonic plates and a semi or not just a magnetic pole shift, but actually when is that going to happen? I mean, I've really looked at it, and I've looked at it from a lot of different sources, a lot of different authors, speakers I've had on the talk show, and the timing of that, and the I've had some really interesting information like this crop circles, coded crop circles, two crop circles. That were taken off the crop, because they don't, the powers that be, so to speak, don't want information on specific timelines out in the open, because they could create panic.
Yeah, exactly, and one thing I want to let people know, first of all, I'm very, very dedicated to this. I've been doing it a long time. It's my calling, and so I want, if there are people out there that do have specific questions, maybe unique circumstances or just confused or what have you, I invite folks to call me directly. As I have a lot of experience doing this, and so you can either get contact information on the website, or I will just quickly give you a phone number here. It's 800-775-1991. And, of course, the website, once again, is preparedirect.com. But feel free for folks to give me a call. And it is my own personal philosophy, and I've seen, believe me, I've read a lot of websites and talked to a lot of folks. The choice of why is up to the individual. The individual must own their decisions. They have to come to the conclusions on their own. I really enjoy making these products available and writing information. I don't want to stimulate people to doing something they don't feel comfortable doing. And yet, we all have to be honest with ourselves and, come to these conclusions. And, it's funny. I know you and I have talked about it before. I teach at the local college.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, the philosophy.
I meant to introduce them, the fact that you have a master's degree and you teach philosophy at a local college.
Yeah, I do. I teach it, and the class I teach specifically is called Critical Thinking. And the reason I mention this, and of course I have written extensively, I'm going to make my writings, the longer writings, available. I've written on end times prophecies, both from a Christian point of view, Christian end times prophecies, and from just apocalyptic secular points of view. And so I've studied this a lot like you have.
Uh-huh.
And there are many scenarios, but my own personal opinion is such that people do have to come to those decisions themselves. There is a lot of similarity in teaching critical thinking skills about any number of things that happen in a person's life and the process of emergency planning. There are a lot of similarities. You need to do research. You need to evaluate. You need to have discernment skills, and so I encourage people to be very, I have a saying that I tell folks, honesty is the cornerstone of critical thinking. I tell that to my students. And
being honest with yourself.
You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with why you're planning. So you take that into the emergency preparedness realm. Why are you planning? Be honest. Is it because the next-door neighbor is forcing you, or are you part of a church group where everybody raises their hand at every meeting, and if you feel guilty if you don't raise yours, or is it...
I remember that because I was working with a lot of LDS, Mormons, and they would say that in the services, they would... I remember hearing about the story of the prophet, I forget which one it was, but stood up in a congregation and says, how many of you have your 2 years' food reserves? And wasn't that many hands go up, and he sat back down, and he was visiting, the prophet of the Mormon church, and he said, well, I guess you don't want to know what a prophet has to say. Then he, in other words, if you haven't got 2 years' food reserves, the point was that, I really believe it's good that everyone has 2 year food reserves, if not more, personally.
No.
That sounds extreme for some people. 3 months sounds extreme for some people. For people like that, I just recommend they get a really healthy pantry program going,
And rotate. And that is you're bringing up one of the big questions, is that do you use these food reserves, or do you just hide them there, wanting a 10, 20, 30-year shelf life and hope you never see them again?
It's a personal
decision people have to make, and I kind of believe they should be rotated, and there could be a number of situations that occur. Maybe you lose your job, maybe there is some short-term issues.
Or maybe you're going camping.
Camping, you have friends that need food, they're out of work.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things that you may say, hey, look, here's some really good quality foods that I have here. Take them, the family, the children eat it. And so there's definitely many reasons. There is one more important thing that I want to tell folks about. As I say, there's many different ways to go about this. You can just go to the store and buy cases of tuna fish and things, and that's fine. You can go to Costco and buy some of their bulk issues and large quantity wet pack foods or what have you. But what seems to be going on right now, it's always been going on, but it's a little bit more now than perhaps before, is that many people are selling assortments or units or whatever word they want to use, and it could be a month's worth, 2 months, a year. They could say, and I've seen this, we're talking about Costco specifically, a bucket of 240 meals. And
yeah.
You think, oh, well, isn't that something? And they do a little division here. And
the calories are in starvation level.
What you never see, or, yeah, exactly, is how do all of these people, and it's on my website under these questions when you buy it, it's very specific, how do these people determine there's 240 servings? And you said it.
Yeah.
They could be saying, yeah, it's 240 servings. They're kind of soup or stews, and they're 600-700 calories, or maybe 300 or 400 calories per serving. Well, yeah, the average person, I mean, the average, when we have created these systems, try to use about 2,000, sometimes a little less, 1,800,
yeah,
sometimes a little more, 2,200, 2,400. It just depends. But the caloric value is the easiest way to determine whether a meal is in fact adequate. And that's number one. It's what's the calories, what's the nutritional value. And
yeah,
number two, of course, as you said, it's what's the quality of what you're eating.
Yeah.
I mean, is it filler? Is it, for example, calories are fine, but where are those calories coming from? How many of the calories are from sugar? So a lot of units will have either very heavy-oriented grains, wheat, of course, very inexpensive and higher-calorie grain, or a bunch of beans. And we have systems, too, that we have.
Yeah.
They're good base core systems that you build on. And then there are systems that I have on the site, which you can buy for a year. And you don't have to cook anything. You just add hot water. It's everything is pre-blended. It's all freeze-dried or instant. And so there's folks that don't have to worry about eating a bunch of wheat and beans and TVP.
They got real food, so to speak.
Well, yeah, and they're not. So you look at these calories, and this is what I found when I first got in the industry. They'd have all these year supply, and they'd have all these cans of food, and then you'd look at how many cans, literally full cans of sugar was in it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, a case or two.
And white flour.
Empty calories. Difficult to digest, and let's face it, in this day and age, there are a lot of people who do not have the knowledge of preparing foods from scratch. They don't know what to do with a bunch of grains and beans and flour and so forth. They're used to prepared foods, they're used to simple foods. And so I encourage people to really make that honest decision as to what they want to do.
Yeah.
And look at the options out there and don't buy the cheapest, oh, look, it's a year supply for whatever dollars. Well, who determined that it's a year? A year for who?
Yeah. And then there's
got to do some research.
A lot of people just, they're looking at what they can afford, you know.
Well,
you
that's know, understandable.
They're just,
and
yeah, that goes with the territory.
Absolutely, and that has to be understood. But I just ask people to really sit down and carefully consider what they're putting away. And if you don't have a lot of money, start with 2 weeks, a month. Don't suddenly think, oh man, if I don't have $5,000 for one of these fascinating year systems, well, start out with a shorter amount.
And really, it's almost like a triage thing. You know, you've got things coming up in the queue that you want to buy or you think you need to buy, and then there's the food reserves. And if you if you really knew later this spring or early fall, there was going to be serious earth changes and dislocation of services where the stores would empty in a day or two. If you knew that was, I mean, if you really knew that was going to happen, obviously, in a triage situation like that, you would sacrifice a whole lot of other stuff so you got your food reserves in.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
That's you know, that's putting it in kind of a raw situation because nobody knows, you know, when the time is for sure. But, you know, you do get a common pattern of signs and indications, and there's a common sense to me. You know, I mean, I've been looking at it from all these different angles, and I'm just getting, I wouldn't say it's a foreboding. It's like, it's more like a prompting to, you know, hey, you have a, like, I have a responsibility to at least get the word out as best as I can, because there are sins of omission as well as sins of commission, so to speak. You know?
Right, right.
Anyway, well, so I know exactly
what you're saying. I feel the same way you do, is that, you know, I can put out the information and people, once again, have to make the choice. But I'm very concerned that people have adequate information. Well, also what I'm doing, besides the articles I have there, and many of the products, whether they be the food products or the communication or water filtration, has some very, very detailed information about it. For the Berkey filters, for example.
Yeah.
A very, very popular unit. It's actually a purifier, too, which is very good. You could use them for portable purposes or home use. Those items on the site have some extensive information on there. But what I'm going to be doing, besides the site, I'm working on a new blog and a new website, and I'll put it on my regular site when it's ready. It should be ready within a couple of weeks, where I'm going to get into more detail, where I have more articles and more.
Well, it's interactive, too. You'll have people asking questions.
Exactly, more interactive ability for people to ask questions. And I say, what? Yeah, I want to be positive about all of this, and so I want to be positive with accurate information, but I also have to be realistic. I have been doing a lot of research, and there is a lot of inaccurate information out there right now. And,
yeah.
And one of the first things I'll be writing about is the folks that do want to do their own thing. I, of course, encourage the long term, but there are a lot of people, for financial reasons or what have you, have a lot of bulk grains. Probably the most misinformation out right now is on how to store your own foods.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be one of the first issues that I write about in more detail. And so that'll be on there.
And again, I would like to repeat that Dennis, those who go to Dennis's website, preparedirect.com, down the left side, there's really good articles he's got, and his book information, menus, you know, recipes for the foods. And
yeah. By the way, you let people know that we have a little incentive for folks. Obviously, it's always.
Oh yeah, I meant to mention that we're in through the end of the month. Those who go to Dennis's website and whatever they purchase, if they put the code in. And the code is, actually, I put that code to put in,
yeah,
in the checkout.
Yeah, you gave me the code. It was 1210.
Yeah, it's on the Cosmic Love website.
Yeah, it's on your website. And there's at the checkout, there's a place to put a code number. And that's an extra, the products are discounted already, but it's an extra 10% discount. And I think that's a pretty good incentive here for folks that are listening to your show. And
yeah, that's right. It's 1210.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we want to do that. And, of course, if they have friends, let them know about it, that it is you're going to go on to the end of the month. And
yeah.
Okay, so we want people to be prepared. What else can I say? It's important.
Yeah, well, no one really knows for sure the time, but it's better to be prepared so you don't have to be prepared.
Yeah, and one other thing, too, then you say that, you know, part of the process, once again, on some of these guidelines that I have on the site, you really do have, everybody has to make a decision as to who they're preparing for. Is it themselves, next-door neighbors, extended family, church members? It could be any number of folks. Organization that you're part of, a business.
Yeah, you want more comfort foods and treats for you know.
That's always
for kids. For
yeah,
kids.
And yeah, that's of course on. By the way, on the that particular thing I mentioned to you, the Essential Emergency Planning Guide for Food and Water. It gets into detail about the types of foods, and that's one of them to consider are comfort foods. You know, you can't live a year on wheat and pinto beans.
You become a methane generator real quick.
Yeah, you'd have to get real creative on all the different ways of preparing these things. But you have to look at are children involved, the elderly, obviously if they're very old. Digestive issues are important.
Yeah.
And you have to take into account the kinds of foods that you're going to store. And so
there's a lot more to this than a lot of people are aware. And getting started, I think the first step is just to get kind of congruent and with the idea that it could very well be, as signs indicate, with earthquake activity all over the world stepping up.
Right.
And with much greater levels than people being letting on to know that, like I say, that they've the geological indicators, you know, these magnitude of the earthquakes are they're representing them 1 point lower than they actually are. And that, I mean, that's the story on that. I followed that for years when they first started doing that, when it was first reported. And, of course, you never see that in the mainstream news, and that's the whole idea.
Right.
To make it look like that things are still kind of normal. Yes, we have earthquakes, but you know, the fact is I've seen the charts of the frequency and intensity of the earthquake activity over the last several years, and it's just going like exponential.
That's right. And, you know, that brings up a point, as you were mentioning that, something I did many, many years ago, and they're part of the Gourmet Reserve. I created a system. It was called the Versatile. And and they have different timelines on there. But the concept, whether you buy a complete system already or whether you do it yourself, but the concept is going from having foods available for an immediate situation. Once again, if you have an earthquake or whatever emergency, especially if you have family, children, you need something right away. If you don't have enough food in the pantry, then perhaps you go to your reserves and you take the things that are just eat as is.
Yeah.
Or perhaps just add cold water or add hot water. In other words, there's no cooking involved. And then you go along for a length of time. Then maybe, your scenario is going to last months, say, for example, but you don't know. Then you go on for the first couple of weeks, and maybe it's products. You just blend them, but you also just add hot water. You're using instant or freeze-dried products. And simple to use granolas and that have milk already in them, and you just add some water, and maybe you blend a few things. And then you can move on to possibly, depending on your financial situation, to products that need more cooking time. Then you get into some of your rolled oats or flaked grains or partially cooked grains where you do have to blend them with vegetables.
I mean, it's really good food, Dennis.
You keep moving all the way up.
I had a natural food store, and I've got your packages. I've tasted the stuff. It's delicious. And some of these packages are just really delicious. You know, the combinations, the ingredients, it's just really good stuff. And
Christopher,
these
foods have been eaten by expeditions and backpackers for 30 years.
Himalayas.
And go all over the world. And you're right that you have to have good food when you're doing these in your family camping or expeditions.
Yep. Yeah.
And this has been the philosophy of the Gourmet Reserve line, is to do exactly what you've commented on. Is to have good, and if economically you can't afford a year's supply of just add water food, at least supplement with this concept of the nature of the scenario that you're planning for. So have at least some supply of these foods available, and then if you know how to cook grains and beans and all that sort of thing, and that's fine, have those available too. But I'm a great believer in diversity of different food options. And, nothing wrong with a few cases of tuna fish and so forth. You have a shorter shelf life, of course, but still for a shorter term you can rotate case of tuna a lot easier perhaps than a number 10 can of freeze-dried corn. It just depends on your own situation.
Yeah, I've gone to Costco and got those 10-pound cans full of corn and tuna, or, you know, the 5-pound cans full of
tuna.
And, you know, you get a big thing of mayonnaise, and you just make up a whole bunch of sandwich for the friends and neighbors. You know,
oh,
when
yeah, there's
it.
Even some of the Gourmet Reserve, there's some cans that last for many, many years of crackers.
Yeah.
And they're very long term. So you make yourself a little tuna sandwich, you open up the crackers, and you get peanut butter that we have in there. There's lots of different types of foods. There, by the way, there's a company called Heater Meals, the people who invented the MRE heaters.
Really?
For the military, yes. They, the pad, it's a very, you know, it's a condensed iron-based oxide pad, and you add water to it, it gets very warm, and of course the MREs, the service people, are heated up. They're wet pack. Well, this company developed more of a tray concept, larger portions, more familiar foods, and that's on the site too. And so it has the heating pad in there, but you heat them up right in the box. Yeah, the water comes with it, the little packets of water. You heat it up, and you have a hot meal. It's a wet pack. You don't have to do anything with it. And they have anywhere from, there's different categories, up to 5-year shelf life wet pack heater meals. So for people who, same thing that I recommend there, and I've done it myself, is that you have it there, and you can use it for camping trips, a quick meal, kids going to college, you're at the office. I mean, there's all kinds of different places you can use the heater meals.
Oh,
and one
neat.
Other thing, too, which brings to mind that is a little bit unique for some people. When we talk about, for example, buying a 1-year system,
yeah,
and what I have taken great lengths to calculate there is the cost per meal. So a lot of people have never gone out and bought a year's worth of, let's say, just add water foods. I mean, similar foods that you would eat to dinner tonight. A whole year at a time, nobody buys that much. So if you say to someone, it's $5,000, whatever the amount is, $4,000, $5,000, $3,000, $10,000. It depends on the nature of the system. But let's say $5,000. I mean, who goes out and buys $5,000 worth of food at once? Rare. However, if you break it down, you really find that it is quite economical, even though you have a very specialized technology behind it, which gives it a long shelf life and just add water technology and so forth. It really is quite cost effective when you look at it from a cost per meal or cost per day standpoint. And that's what I've done on these systems to break that down so people can see, rather than be kind of intimidated by a very large number.
When you break it down to the actual meal.
Exactly. People don't buy that much food at once. So there's the whole concept of food reserves as an investment, hedge against inflation. Matter of fact, there are even some systems there, I call them, which are investment level. So here you have products that are going to last, some side between 15 and 25 years, depending on the nature of the product in it. And so you have an investment, and you can use it over the course of time. And
I would call it a health assurance policy.
It is an insurance. Exactly what it is.
I wouldn't say insurance. I'd call it health assurance.
And once again, you have to look at your scenario. I mean, do you have a family with young children? Are they whatever? Are you going to sit around in an emergency when you have young kids and say, here's what we have for dinner. We have some textured vegetable protein and wheat to cereal. Well, the kids may not like that, at least not at the beginning. You got to really get them into that. So, you know, I believe in really being honest about the scenario and honest about what you anticipate to be the circumstances.
Well, it's a really good idea, too, that when someone gets a food reserve package, to begin having some meals, especially with kids, so they get familiarized with it before they really need it, so to speak.
Absolutely,
you know, where
yes.
Where they
totally
can see
that.
See this is good food, we got food, and here's how you make it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they just get a little, you know, make it a, you know, a new discovery mode of different food.
Yeah, and part of that too, as we've said, and then once again, it's the individual choice. The diversity between some of the lightweight, just add water, compact foods, and having 6-7 gallon buckets of wheat and beans and so forth, if you've got to be mobile, if you're in a situation where you've got to go, so you've got a car, a truck, and you got the family, and of course the family goes in there and all the essentials. So where do you put your 25 buckets of wheat? There's no place to put it.
Yeah.
And so you have to be very clear about the mobility factor. And there's a lot of factors. And once again, I direct people to the website. There's whole lists of things to think about when you're doing this planning. And by the way, once again, I encourage people to give me a call. Go to the site and call me up.
You can contact him. You've got his phone numbers on his website. That's prepared.
Yeah, the phone number there. I know I'll be here also in the office for a while after this conversation in case people have some questions. And that number, that's the 800-775-1991 number.
Well, Dennis, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I'm going to make that a wrap for now. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks for all the listeners of Cosmic Love. And I have finished with a little meditation. So thanks again, Dennis.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Hope to talk to your folks soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness, the five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, now, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.